Thank you, Ollie. Can I add my welcome to Ollie's? And in a sort of rare moment of irony, maybe, can I welcome Jeremy here? Because Jeremy's meant to be on retreat, but such is his love for the worship and us, the family of God, that he's here with us, which means that we will have to postpone the staff pirate fancy dress day service leading for another time, Jeremy. Just imagine if we did that. please do turn in your Bibles, if you've got them, to page 975, where we're continuing to look through Luke's Gospel. And I'll start reading from verse 17. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal those who were ill. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, if we know how the rest of the episode happens from Luke's Gospel or Matthew or Mark, then we'll know that he heals the man. So if you flick down, immediately after Jesus heals him a bit later, he stood up, the man stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on for goodness knows how long, and went home praising God. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. And we know that's how the story ends. But it is a really odd first response from Jesus, isn't it? I mean, the scene is set. The power of the Lord is with him. The religious bigwigs are there. The place is packed. It's standing room only. You know, someone's roof gets destroyed so that a healing miracle can happen. And Jesus says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." It's not what we would have expected. It's probably not what we would have said. But if we let them, then these words will turn our priorities upside down. Or maybe because we're probably the ones that are out of touch with God and Jesus is the one in touch with God, maybe they'll turn our priorities the right way up. A reminder that often we need. Because they tell us that, well, like any good doctor, you're not going to ignore something as massive as paralysis unless there's something bigger that needs fixing. And so we see Jesus is saying, look, our greatest need for all of us, even if we're paralyzed on a mat and can't walk, our greatest need is for connection or reconnection with God and relationship with him. We need our forgiveness. We need our sins forgiving. He says elsewhere, what good is it to gain the whole world, to get it all, the money, the status, power, whatever it is that you dream of, and yet in so doing forfeit your soul for all eternity? You know, if in Jesus' eyes this paralytic needs forgiveness more than anything else, then it must be our greatest need too. And the wonderful thing is that Jesus doesn't just lob us that curveball. He teaches through the rest of the episode that he has the authority to give us just the forgiveness that we need. So for all of us Christians for decades or wouldn't call ourselves Christians at all, there are times, countless times, when we ignore God or we rebel against him or we disobey him or we resist him or when we know exactly what to do, we haggle with him. Yeah? Oh, what? Yeah. Do we have to quite do it like that? And we need forgiveness, therefore. And Jesus gives this paralytic, this paralyzed man, forgiveness as a free gift. And as I've thought about it, I just think that has to be how true forgiveness works all the time, isn't it? A free gift. It's not something that I can earn. I mean, if I punch Will in the face, where is Will's face? Yes. If I punch him in the face, then I can try and compensate by buying him all the oat lattes from Rosslyn, his favourite coffee shop around the corner. If you wish to bless your worship leader, you know now how to do that. Oat flat white. Sorry, yeah, that's right. If we're going to bless him, let's get the order right. but I can try and do all I can to try and make the future relationship better. But that's not the same thing as getting him to change his attitude and his mind towards the past sin against him, which in this case was a world-class left hook, just for the record. Okay? it is a gift. It has to be a gift. So then, like the paralyzed man, when it comes to our sins before God, it has to be a gift from him. I can't elicit God's forgiveness by doing something. He has to want to do it. And the amazing thing is, Jesus wants to do it. Jesus will go to the cross to pay for our sins because he wants to do it that much. It's always a free gift for us. It's incredibly costly for him, but he's prepared to do it because he loves us, because he's willing. And that means that wherever we're at with God, but I guess particularly if we're Christians and we feel our walk with God is in some way impaired or clouded over because of sin. And I do mean because of sin, not because of depression or some other mental illness. You know, we don't have our joy in God. Our spiritual vitality has gone. The hope's bled away, or our confidence in Christ is at a low ebb, or we're not enjoying the Father's smile on our lives. Then the solution is there. The only medicine that we need that will work is forgiveness. Only forgiveness will do, but this is exactly what Jesus wants to give us. You know, as we say we're helpless men and women, and we turn to him in repentance and faith, what does he say? Friend, your sins are forgiven. Forgiven, past tense, put away forever. So I don't know where you are with God, but if that's you, then may the clouds lift. May the warm sunshine of the joy and the light and the goodness of God and the Father's love for you be your experience once again. May you know, not just with your head, but in your heart with joy, that he cares for you, that he loves you, that he is your protector, your shield, your strong defender, and all of these things that he always was, but we can lose the joy of. As I've already mentioned, the man gets healed. So just because Jesus forgives him, that doesn't exhaust the generosity and the kindness of God. He heals him. Jesus is like that too, isn't he? Happy to give more sometimes, often, lots of times. But from the perspective of eternity, when you meet him in the new creation, the thing he'll be most thankful for won't be his legs. It'll be for his forgiveness. And I guess may God bless us all richly in all sorts of wonderful ways with all sorts of gifts that we ask for and maybe didn't ask for. But may we receive them with the right perspective. Forgiveness is the ultimate thing, and forgiveness we have. Thank you, Jesus.